Tom Woods Show, episode 1485.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, the Tom Woods Show.
Folks, as you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has been spreading some pretty terrible ideas, and she's wrong on just about everything. Well, I've put together the definitive smash of all of it. The Green New Deal, affordable housing so-called, free college, high tax rates. It's in another free ebook, yes, a free ebook, called AOC is Wrong, The Upside-Down World of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Grab your free copy at aociswrong.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here, joined today by Dave Smith. You folks know Dave Smith, his comedy special Libertas, which came out in 2017, spent three solid weeks as the number one comedy album on iTunes. He is the host of the Part of the Problem podcast. You can check him out at gasdigitalnetwork.com. He just could not possibly be a better person, in my opinion. I just cannot say enough about Dave. And when the controversy began to emerge around the new Dave Chappelle comedy special, Sticks and Stones, I saw a thread in my private group saying we should get together, Dave and I, talk about it. And I had not initially thought that I would devote an episode to this because it's not the sort of topic we usually discuss, but I know a lot of my folks are interested in it because there are cultural implications to the reaction to the special. And plus, it's an excuse to have Dave Smith back on. So that's a 1-2 punch right there. So I decided to do it. So very, very glad to welcome Dave Smith back to the program. Dave, welcome back.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be home.
This is a by popular demand episode. There's a thread in my elite group, which you belong to.
I sure do. Yeah,
Dave's in that group, saying we should do an episode like this. So here we are doing it. And I'm behind on Part of the Problem. Did you already do this on Part of the Problem?
I mentioned it briefly. I didn't devote a full episode to it.
Okay, all right. So we're doing this. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right. So it's Sticks and Stones is the name of the special. I just watched it last night. And let me start off, Dave, before you and I say anything. Let me say this to the folks, because I think people expect certain things from me, and they expect me to like certain things and dislike other things. And for one thing, I think the audience doesn't know me as well as it thinks it does. But right. Secondly, I want to warn people, if you're thinking, well, if Woods enjoyed this special, it must be fun for the whole family. Don't you blame me for this. This is Dave Chappelle we're talking about. All right. You know what you're getting yourself into. And I absolutely do not want to hear, Woods, I'm so disappointed in you. I can't believe he joked about such and such and you support. Okay. Right away, I am banning you and I am deleting your email and never talking to you again if you send me an email like that. I'm not listening to that. I don't care. All right. Just stop it. If you think you might be that kind of person, don't watch this special. I warned you. All right. Now, with that out of the way, let's talk about it. There's been unbelievable controversy about this special. So I thought, wow, I mean, there's going to be some nasty, mean stuff in here, let's say about LGBT. So I watched it and my thought, at one point I hit a button on the remote just to see how many more minutes were left. There were only 20 minutes left. And I thought, wait a minute, this thing's almost over. This is what they're upset about? This is unbelievably mild. This is what they're upset. I could not believe this was the same special. And like he didn't even say one unkind word about the LGBT community. Not one. He joked about them, but in no way was it unkind. And everybody knows there's internal divisions within that movement. I mean, this would be like him saying, you know, the reason libertarians and the Mises libertarians don't always get along, and us saying, oh my gosh, I'm outraged. No, that's a fact. So, I mean, was that your overall impression?
Well, I mean, first of all, I just want to say that I thought the special was excellent. I just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, well done.
You know, just Dave Chappelle to me is up there with the greatest comedians who have ever lived. And for anybody who's not familiar, as you said, I mean, if you're easily offended or you don't like edgy comedy, then he's probably not your guy. But if you do, if you like that type of stuff, I mean, go watch For What It's Worth, Killing Them Softly, two of the best comedy specials ever made, in my opinion. And The Chappelle Show is, to me, the best sketch comedy show that I've ever seen. So the guy is a comedic legend. And I thought this was really, you know, him at his best. It was just funny. He's always very, you know, opinionated and very controversial. But really, for somebody, you know, it's funny because I almost feel like let me say it like this, right? With the left-wing outrage today, it just seems like maybe it's my age, but it still seems like it just doesn't make sense to come from the left. Like, there's this part of me that expects this to be the perspective of like an older conservative religious Christian who's like, wait a minute, this stuff is too edgy. I don't want to see this. You know, this isn't for polite society. The idea that this comes from like young left-wing people, it's so strange. It reminds me of when, you know, like right after Donald Trump got elected, and all of a sudden you have these Republicans who are promoting, you know, getting along, working with Russia. And then you have MSNBC becoming the new Cold Warriors saying, well, no, anything that our CIA says has to be taken as fact, and Russia is the big threat. And I'm just sitting here going, shouldn't you guys switch sides?
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't – it reminds me of – did you ever see Naked Gun 33 and a third?
Oh, sure. And I watched all the Police Squad episodes before that.
Okay, so in the end of Naked Gun 33 and a third, when Frank Drebin is on stage at – what is it? I think the Oscars, and he's got the bomb, and the terrorist has the gun, and he goes, okay, let's think this through. I'm the cop. You're the terrorist. I should have the gun. You should have the bomb. And they just trade.
Yeah.
It feels to me like the left and the right in America should just trade. They're like, you shouldn't be here. I mean, what? It's not as if this is something brand new, the idea that Dave Chappelle would have an edgy comedy special. I grew up in like, I was a 90s kid, and this wasn't a new thing in the 90s. We were coming like a generation after Pryor and Carlin, who were the great comics of the generation before I was around, right? And they were as edgy as anything that's ever existed. And then, of course, it was like Chris Rock and Chappelle and guys like this. I mean, this has been going on forever. So what you have is a dynamic where Chappelle hasn't changed at all, but all of the cultural sensitivities around him have completely changed. And he's feeling the pushback from that. And to your point, Tom, it's not that he did anything that was particularly wrong or like, oh my God, he said this one thing that's so harsh. It's just that he's not with the program, and that's not allowed.
And yet, as I say, it seems so mild to me compared to what I was led to expect from the controversy. Yeah. I mean, as I say, the LGBT, I don't want to ruin it for anybody. If the LGBT section, there is no insult to anybody other than he makes a very vague reference to the fact that he just can't stop himself making transgender jokes. He's, sorry, I just can't stop making them. Sorry. But he doesn't actually tell any, really. Yeah. So there's that. But then also there's the part where he does an obviously exaggerated impression of a Chinese person, and apparently, right, which lasts about 5 seconds, is obviously not meant in a nasty way, has been done by everybody at some point. Virtually no Chinese person on earth would have any problem with it all. And I the impression you get from Vox or whatever is like, that's the show. is racist attacks on Chinese. Are you kidding me? I mean, I was expecting to have to do an episode saying, all right, look, there's a lot of really edgy stuff in here and it's going to be hard for everybody to accept, but you're going to have to. No. I got to the end and I thought, I can't believe if this special is setting them off, we're not going to be allowed to say anything in 5 years. If that is setting them off, I mean, these people are pathetic. I mean, much, much more pathetic than I thought.
Well, I agree. Well, I kind of agree with you, right? Like the idea that if it continued in this direction, we wouldn't be able to say anything in 5 years. But I actually think there's something else that's going on here, which is like the fact that it's gotten to this insane of a feverish pitch, it kind of indicates that they're really losing control. And so I actually think there's like a really positive sign here.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that it kind of reminds me, you know, because I think there are these similarities between left-wing totalitarian thought. And, you know, you've covered this on your podcast and you've written about this before, but when the Pope went to the Soviet Union, and all these people came out for him, and all of a sudden it was like people started looking around and they were like, oh wow, there's a lot of us.
Oh yeah,
like, there's
Poland.
A lot
yeah,
of
his,
us here.
His John Paul's trip to Poland, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a really powerful thing. And one of the reasons why you're not allowed to say, hey, you know, there's something absurd about the way we talk about transgender people, or this is how I actually think it's kind of hilarious. I mean, just the idea of being transgender is kind of funny. The reason why you're not allowed to say that, why they're so scared of that, is because they know. I mean, Dave Chappelle was doing this in a huge theater, and what was the reaction from the crowd? Laughter,
yeah,
from everybody, because everyone knows. Yeah, of course we feel that way. Of course we feel that way. Even honest transgender people, I've met honest transgender people, they'll acknowledge that obviously people feel this way. So I think there's this fear that the left-wing authoritarians have that if we allow you to express yourself, it's like if we allow the to visit, then, oh man, people might start realizing that our, you know.
Yeah, that just because in the media it seems like there's a single monolithic view doesn't mean that in all of society that is the case.
This is not the behavior of people who are powerful because they're competent and they're secure in the fact that they're going to remain powerful. This is the behavior of people who are desperate because they know they're losing.
Yeah.
Because they know the truth is that the woke PC social justice cancel culture authoritarians, they represent they're like 1% of the population. And they've had this outrageous disproportionate control over the narrative. And it's getting really, really hard for them to keep it. It's getting really, really hard. I think that dynamic is going on a lot, not just with this stuff, but just with the mainstream media in general, or the corporate press, as Michael Malice corrects me. But just in general, it's like this is what you're watching is a dying order that's getting more and more desperate and actually, I mean, more insane than ever before.
Well, that, you know, I think maybe you have something there. I think maybe you have something. Sometimes it seems like we're under such a barrage of nonstop hectoring of people who just, you know, who don't toe the line, that it demoralizes me. But then, you know, you read the comments sections on an article and then you remember, oh, okay, wait, no, there are most people have some semblance of common sense.
Yeah. And there's so many people out there, right? Like you'll see, you know, there's people like you and me and our whole kind of, you know, circle of like the ANCAP, you know, internet commentators or whatever, you know, you want to call us. And then there's like all these different people. I mean, I'll find guys on YouTube sometimes who are like, you know, anti-PC voices. And I'm like, I've never heard of this guy. And he's got like 500,000 subscribers, like these huge people I never even knew existed. There are so many people out there who are aware of this stuff. And even within the circles of people who conform to the woke PC authoritarians, it's like, I'd say like maybe in the ballpark of like 50% of them don't believe any of this stuff. They're just bullied into submission. Like they're kind of just going with the flow. And if the flow goes the other way, they'd be like, yeah, this is all kind of crazy.
Right.
I mean, these claims are just so absurd. It's like, you know, whatever. I mean, you know all of them, but you know, there's no such thing as gender. There's the idea that, you know, whatever, like all drunk sex is equivalent to rape. I mean, there are these ideas that practically, basically no human being holds these views. But it seems like it takes a lot of courage in a mainstream platform to speak out against them. But come on. I mean, at a certain point, I feel like this is breaking down. And there has been, while there was a lot of pushback to the Chappelle Show and like pretty, you know, fairly big publications like Vice wrote a thing about how you can just skip the Chappelle special.
Yeah.
But then there's also been a big pushback to the pushback. I don't know if you've seen that online, but there's a lot of people who are like, you guys are crazy. This was hilarious.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I mean, I've seen it in my circles, but I haven't really ventured beyond those.
Well, my circles, you know, include just more of like the comedy scene in general.
And that matters more than the libertarian circles.
Well, in this instance, particularly, you know, but there's but comedians are really defending Dave Chappelle. And I'll tell you, there's a little part of that almost rubs me the wrong way, because it's like, oh, of course they'll defend Chappelle, you know,
right,
the guy who doesn't need the defending. But when other, like if some comedian who's got maybe more right-wing leaning politics you know, if Nick DiPaolo or Owen Benjamin or someone like that is being banned from clubs all throughout the country, I don't see any of these people defending their right to be offensive. So they kind of are conveniently defending Chappelle.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least I'll take a win where you can get it. It's like, look, the guy made a hilarious special. He's one of the greats of all time. Can't we just enjoy anything?
And when I think back on it, obviously the first portion of it, let's say, is pretty controversial. The type of humor. I mean, I just don't care. Who cares? But other than that, I genuinely can't think of what's so unspeakably awful about it. I mean, there was just.
Well, that's right? the interesting thing. It's simply that he's not with the program. So if you're going to talk about transgender people, what you have to be doing is going along with the program. There are these few issues. You know, I remember when Louis C.K. Came back to do stand-up last year and one of his sets leaked. I don't know if you remember this, but someone recorded
I didn't know that it happened. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it was just a show at like a little comedy club. And someone recorded it and put it out. And he was doing Louis C.K., you know, like really edgy comedy, what he's always done. But he had – so it was pretty funny that there was – he made one joke about kids who have survived school shootings speaking up and getting involved in politics. And the joke was something along the line of just being like, hey, you're a kid. What do you know? And kind of making fun of them.
Right.
And they were outraged about this.
Yeah.
But the joke before that, he made an Auschwitz joke. It was directly leading into that joke. And no one seemed to care about that. Like, it just didn't hit the issue of the day.
Yeah. So it's not even so much that it's edgy. It's not even really primarily that, is it? It's that he's not on board for the whole thing. And yet somebody like Louis C.K., I would suspect, is probably 75% to 80% on board.
Oh, I mean, Louis C.K. was a Hillary supporter who thought Trump was, you know, like a Nazi,
and
basically.
That's not enough.
Doesn't matter. He's not with the program 100%. And he was, of course, you know, involved in this kind of Me Too, you know, thing. So he's a bad guy now. He's one of the bad guys. It doesn't matter. And it's very interesting what, you know, because look, comedy is truly subjective. It is truly subjective. And, you know, it's a great example of the subjective theory of value, or, you know, anybody, you could just say, you could be like, here's the greatest comedian I've ever seen. This is the best comedy special ever. And someone else could say, I don't think it's funny. And you're both equally right. Nobody's really right or wrong. It's completely in the eye of the beholder. But so is being offended. And so it's just interesting to note what they choose. Like, so Chappelle opens his special. I won't give anything away with this, but he opens his special with like a joke about suicide and a prominent celebrity who committed suicide. Now, nobody seems to have a problem with that joke because that wasn't, you know, that one wasn't one of the key issues that you're not allowed to stray on. So that's fine. It's the transgender joke. That's the one people have a problem with. But it's like you could just. Actually, that first one was a lot more offensive if you want to play this game, if you want to get offended by things. You know, I know because I'm at comedy clubs quite a bit. I mean, I know there's a lot of comedians who they'll tell a joke. It's not like they're against offensive comedy. They'll tell a joke about abortion or something like that, and they don't care about that. They're not worried that this may offend some pro-lifer. But a big part of that also is because pro-lifers aren't like, you know, aren't writing articles about, you know, how offended they are that someone did this joke. It's just not like the right doesn't get outraged the same way left-wing people do, because right-wing people tend to have things like families and jobs and, you know, just things that they have to do during the day. So they're not like getting caught up in all this stuff. But it's not about being offensive. It's about sticking to the script. And that's what Chappelle did wrong.
All right, Dave, more to talk about here in just a minute. Let's pause for a quick message. Folks, you may have heard me tell the story of Bad Luck Ichabod in a recent episode. Bad Luck Ichabod did not know there was such a thing as Skillshare, where he would get access to over 27,000 classes. Instead, he wound up looking like every other employee of this particular firm, and when it came time for the pink slips to be handed out, well, one of them went to Bad Luck Ichabod. That was not the case for Good Luck Winifred, who kept her job because she'd been consistently learning new skills through Skillshare. she stood out. She was somebody the company did not want to do without. As you know, I'm a big booster of Skillshare. My own daughters have used Skillshare. You can take courses in almost anything imaginable: social media marketing, mobile photography, creative writing, illustration, business, accounting, whatever it is, Skillshare has a class on it. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for my listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for free. That's right. Skillshare is offering Tom Wood Show listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 27,000 classes for free. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/woodsfree. Again, go to Skillshare.com/woodsfree to start your 2 months now. That's Skillshare.com/woodsfree. Now, Dave, as long as I have you on here, I want to tell folks I have not yet mentioned it on the podcast. So this is the first time I'm telling people about it. On Facebook, if you're in my private group, you knew about it for a week. But that's why you got to be in the private group, supportinglisteners.com. You got to get in that private group. This is an amazing thing. Now, I would guess 80% to 90% of my listeners know who Bill Kristol is. But for those who don't, Bill Kristol was the editor of the Weekly Standard, a neoconservative magazine that existed for a long time, the son of Irving Kristol, who wrote the book, literally the book on neoconservatism. He is the king of the neocons. He's the king of being wrong. Every prediction he makes is so wrong that there's a whole meme industry about how wrong the guy is. It's an embarrassment. But yet, of course, that doesn't stop him from being all over television, because we live in the bizarro world, and the wronger you are, the more prominent you are on TV. It's crazy. But he is just a through and through neocon. When he found out that Obama was going to double or triple down in Afghanistan, his response was, "All hail Obama." I mean, he just doesn't matter who the person is. He's just a disaster on every front. Neocon of the worst possible sort. And here's what Gene Epstein, through the good offices of Nick Gillespie, managed to make happen. We all know about Gene's Soho Forum debating group in New York City. He has arranged a debate between Bill Kristol and Scott Horton. Yes, the Scott Horton who appears regularly on the Tom Wood Show, the Scott Horton of the Scott Horton Show, the Scott Horton of the book Fool's Errand, the Scott Horton of the encyclopedic command of American foreign policy, particularly during the war on terror. That debate is happening, and it's sold out immediately. It's sold out right away. It's not happening till May 11th, 2020, and it's sold out immediately. So Gene is now moving it to a larger venue so that there are, once again, tickets available, thesohoforum.org. You won't be able to do the traditional thing of going up to Gene and saying the name Tom Woods, because there probably won't be a bar at the new venue. But that doesn't matter. That's really secondary here. So people are saying, why on earth would Bill Kristol agree to a debate like this? And as you and I were saying before we went on, I'm sure Bill Kristol has no idea who Scott Horton is. He thinks, okay, this was arranged by Reason Magazine, so maybe I'm debating, you know, Gary Johnson's assistant or something, and I'll make mincemeat of him. He is about to run into a buzzsaw, the likes of which he has never experienced. And the reason I wanted to bring this up was not just to discuss it with you, Dave, but also I want to make the same appeal that you were implicitly making when we talked just now to our listeners about how not to lead up to this debate. So can you jump in on that?
Yeah, well, okay. So, right. So the situation is exactly as you just described it. And what's going to happen is that as we get closer to this, I would imagine that Kristol is going to start to look into Scott Horton and see and realize he's not dealing with what he thought he was. He's not dealing with, you know, Gary Johnson or even John Stossel. He's dealing with an animal of a whole different species. And, we'll see what happens there. I'm very, very hopeful that this thing does end up happening. I would say the worst thing you could do, as I've seen some people do already, is start tweeting at Bill Kristol about how he's going to get destroyed. Stop doing that. Don't antagonize him. Don't go at him. If anything, tweet at him that you think it's really awesome that he's coming in to do this debate, because it is. It is pretty great that he's doing this. So anyway, this could be a huge, huge moment, not just personally for Scott, who really deserves a moment like this, but for all of us, for everybody in the anti-war movement. This could be a really, really big thing. So do not mess this up for us, people. Keep quiet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my gosh, why would you antagonize him? And not to mention, there is a Scott Horton whom Scott has had on his show. He's an American attorney. He's known for being for his work in human rights law and the law of armed conflict. So if Bill Kristol thinks it's that Scott Horton he's debating, Let him think that. I don't care. This needs to happen. So, yes, people, please do not, for the love of God, do not antagonize Bill Kristol. Because we don't, because as it is, Andrew Yang withdrew from a debate at the Soho Forum with Anthony Samaroff on precisely the subject of automation and the basic income guarantee, the universal basic income. He backed out of that.
And I'll tell you, it was a similar thing where Andrew Yang was going up against what would have just been a nightmare matchup for him. And I my suspicion is that he looked into who his opponent was and was like, oh man, I'm going to get eaten alive by this guy on my key issue. Because there's nobody, and I know you know, there's nobody more equipped to just dominate that that topic and that debate. And so it's a similar thing here. Only the only difference is that truly Bill Kristol is, as you described before, I mean, this guy is, you know, his father was debatably the most key influential person in the neocon movement, like him or Leo Strauss, probably. I mean, those were like the guys. And Bill Kristol has been an incredible, I mean, like he might be the number one neocon in the world.
Yeah.
So to get that guy on the debate stage, that's a really important moment for us to have. So yeah, let's just hope this ends up coming to fruition.
Yeah, absolutely. So play it cool, people. Play it cool. This is an important moment for us as libertarians, and it's a really, really important moment, potentially a real breakout moment for Scott Horton. And we owe it to him after all the uncompensated work he's done for us. We yeah. owe it to him not to screw this up. All right. You have expanded part of the problem. You're doing it three times a week now.
Yes, sir.
Just give us an update on Dave Smith's career.
Oh man, I mean everything's going very good. The podcast had grown a lot. The audience had grown a lot, and there was a lot of demand for more content. So I went to 3 days a week, and I'm working on my stand up. I'm hoping to have another hour out by the end of the year. That's my goal right now. It's coming together. So I'm excited about that. And life is good, man. No complaints. My baby's turning 9 months this week, and everybody's healthy and happy, and I'm just I'm enjoying life.
That is so great to hear. It couldn't happen to a better guy. I'm so glad you're having this success. I am curious about, are you saying that you hope to have the material ready, or you actually hope to have a special recorded by the end of the year?
I'm hoping to record it by the end of the year, and then put it out early 2020. That's the goal.
Ah, oh, geez, I wish I could have some say in what the date of the recording would be so I could be there, but I so want to be there.
Well, I will let you know as soon as I get it figured out.
Okay, yeah, please let me know. I'd love to fly up there for that. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I go up to New York for like a cup of coffee. Like, I don't really need a reason. But
you're looking for any excuse.
Yeah, right. So this would be like I'd want to move there permanently or something. I would really, really want to be there for that. All right, so part of the problem is the podcast. Is there a – obviously, I'll link to that at tomwoods.com/1485. Dave is just outstanding, fearless. You're going to be debating at the Soho Forum. If people hear this as soon as it comes out, it will not yet have happened. It is sold out, but just for people to know, you're debating Nick Sarwark.
That's right.
A resolution along the lines of the Libertarian Party should never again nominate people like Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, something like that, right?
Yeah, I think that's almost it for national office. But yeah, that's pretty much the resolution. And I've really just started over the last 2 days really putting together like exactly what I'm going to say and kind of working it out in my mind. Cause you know, it's a topic that obviously I kind of know where I'm going with this already. And we booked the debate like months in advance, and I don't want to kind of overthink it and become dry on this. So I that's how I work. I like to kind of go in fresh. And it's been an interesting, you know, just thinking about it. Cause right away, you know, with the topic, and it's such an important topic that I care about so much. So you're like, it's right to the core of what the Ron Paul movement was all about, what people like you do, what it's all about is it's kind of like how you want these ideas to be introduced to people and who the messengers ought to be for this set of ideas that is just so beautiful that it's changed my life and your life and so many of the people who listen to this show, so many of their lives. And it's really, there's been something about it where I've really been thinking, it's really kind of taken me back to my roots And it's been a really cool experience just over the last like 2-3 days, like really getting in touch with and remembering why I am a libertarian and why I care about these ideas so much. And it's not, you know, it's like there's so much nonsense out there in the political world these days. And yet what we're talking about is really, it's right at the root of the most important issues. And it's cool to kind of come on this show, you know, while I've been thinking about these things for the last few days, because this is the show that really had such a big influence on me, still to this day, my favorite podcast on the planet. And I'm really excited for this. I think it's going to be a good display of our strand of the liberty movement and what we believe in. And it's going to be a really good opportunity for me to distinguish between, you know, what I see as true libertarianism as opposed to the fakers.
And just for people who don't necessarily know all the inside baseball, Nicholas Sarwark is the chairman of the Libertarian National Committee. So that's who's debating here. So this is a big deal. And I know it's going to go well. I can't wait to hear it afterward. And you're having him, you're still planning to have him on the Part of the Problem podcast the next day?
Yeah, I put out that offer. And if he wants to do that, I'm happy to have him on the podcast.
Wow, that is great. All right. Well, what's a website I can give people about Dave Smith? Is there one?
Well, if you go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, that's where my podcast, you can buy my last hour special, Libertas, there, and all my podcasts and all my stuff's there. So you go there, or it's at Comic Dave Smith on Twitter.
Okay. Both of those will be linked at tomwoods.com/1485. I love your special, by the way. You know that. So
thank you very much.
And I loved the material you did at the Mises Institute this year. I wasn't able to be there, but I did get that. And I don't think they've released that as a video or anything, but it was good stuff.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Some of that is going to go into the next hour.
So good.
I'm glad that you like that.
But, you know, well, the only complaint I have about Mises events is that because there's no mic over the audience, you can't tell that the audience is in stitches.
Yeah. Well, that's comedy is made for you to hear the audience. The audience has to be mic'd. But that was a lot of fun, man. And I really, you know, I've gone to Mises University the last 2 years in a row. And it's just such a great experience, man. So many, I mean, I know you've, you know, done a million of them and you always say the same thing. It's just a great experience. It really gives you like hope for the future. You meet these like brilliant kids who are like 20 and like really understand Austrian economics. And you're like, God, this really like gives me a little bit of hope. So it's really just so much fun. And all the people, it's so funny. I was saying to Jeff Dice, the president of the Mises Institute, at one point when I was there, it's like, there's something so funny where like everybody, you know, in, you know, polite society speaks of the Mises Institute as these bad people. And even though they'll never tell you it, or you'll never hear any of them say it, you know, they're secret racist Nazis, of course. I know the organization's dedicated to a liberal Jew, but that's just what a secret Nazi would do. You know, this is all. And then you get there and everybody on the staff, they're like the nicest human beings you've ever met in your life. You get there and like, it's like Lou Rockwell is like the kindest person I've ever met in my entire life. And you're like, wow, there really is a disconnect between how these people are portrayed and the real thing.
Well, I'm thrilled right now that you're doing so well. Bill Kristol's debating Scott Orton. I mean, like, what world is this, right? This can't be, right? This cannot be. So these are all very, very good developments. So I've got a bunch of Dave Smith links up at tomwoods.com/1485. If you're not following Dave already, I don't understand what the hell's wrong with you. You should darn well should be. And boy, would I sacrifice pretty much anything to be present for your special. So I'll look forward to hearing about that. Thanks again, Dave. I appreciate it.
Tom, thank you so much. It's always an honor to be on. Always great to talk to you.
All right, folks, here we are just having finished an episode featuring two podcasters, Dave Smith, host of Part of the Problem, and your host here, host of the Tom Woods Show, and Contra Krugman, by the way, once a week. Don't forget to listen to Contra Krugman at ContraKrugman.com. But I have a podcast that I think you might also find interesting. It's a podcast by two libertarian mechanical engineers. So it's not another podcast about the non-aggression principle. And I mean, nothing wrong with the non-aggression principle, but you know, man does not live by that alone. So this website, you can find it, engineering.tech, engineering with an A, engineering.tech. It is a podcast on engineering and technology. These are mechanical engineers as your hosts who have decades of experience, and they're trying to take real-world problems and apply innovative solutions to them. So they've already covered geothermal air conditioning, homelessness, passive homes, virtual reality, cars, etc. And you're going to get really, really interesting conversations about science, engineering, capitalism, and markets as they smash the state with a sense of humor. So check it out at engineering.tech. I'll link to it at tomwoods.com/1485. And you know, of course, now just ask yourselves, folks, how did these people get Woods to mention their podcast? And by the way, I'm very enthusiastic about it legitimately. Answer, when they started that website, they used my hosting link to get their web hosting. And in addition to getting a great deal on web hosting, they get this shout out from me and several other bonuses that are really, really helpful to hit the ground running when you are launching a new site. So if that sounds like something you would like, then check out tomwoods.com/publicity about how you can get these bonuses as well. All right, tomorrow, the long-awaited episode on thorium, okay? Those of you who have been badgering me about this, tomorrow's your lucky day, episode 1486. We're going to talk about thorium as an energy source. And if you don't know what this is, then maybe even more than those people, you need to listen in. Your jaw is going to be on the floor. So you definitely do not want to miss 1486. I mean, I don't know why you miss any episode of the Tom Woods Show, because you think, you look at these episode titles and you say, I don't think I'd be interested in this one or this one. So I think I'll skip those. But you know what? Maybe your podcast app accidentally goes into that episode. You know, like you didn't press stop in time. And what happens is you listen and you say, I didn't think I'd be interested in this topic, but doggone it, something about that Woods, he makes even this topic interesting. All these things you think, I don't think I'd be, you will, okay? I do, that's my job, is to make them all interesting for you. So you don't have to pit stop. You just let that baby run. Just let it go. Just let it keep on playing, keep on playing, keep on playing. So definitely let it keep on playing. If 1486 is already out, do not adjust anything. Let it come on automatically and listen. You're really going to be, you're going to be thanking me for making you listen to that one. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.